It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And this week, we attempt to answer the question, who cares about the UFC in 2018?
Well, considering there's a pay-per-view this weekend you had to remind me about, boy, oh boy, we're on a rocky road to start this discussion.
Well, and I have been talking about this ever since Patrick Wyman, who I'm a huge fan of, put out this article for Deadspin 2 days ago that asked the question, with the oversaturation and the increase in pay-per-view dollars, like it went up $5, are people getting excited about the product anymore? And the data would suggest otherwise. The pay-per-view numbers are going the wrong direction. Yes, I'll TDLR this for you. Yes, the UFC had a great 2017, but that's because one, Conor McGregor fought in a squared circle against Floyd Mayweather and made them some money. They kind of saved their ass.
So we know from the dollars that that was a big deal to UFC in 2017.
Yes. Absolutely. And so as we head into 18, you know, you and I have talked offline that our consumption of the product has not been, let's say, in the way that the UFC would like us to consume it.
So I saw this thread yesterday, and the guy wasn't finished yet, but I could kind of see where he was going. You tweeted me yesterday. Can you TLDR that for me? Because basically what somebody online did is they used the UFC and they treated it as if it were a product, and this product being cookies. So they went through the years of the fact that, you know, the UFC used to give us cookies a couple times a year. And now the UFC has essentially oversaturated the market with cookies. So we're kind of sick of cookies. We got a tummy ache. Am I getting the gist of that there?
That's the gist of it. I mean, look, Chris Rini, who you can follow on Twitter at Rini, R-I-N-I-M-M-A, did this thing where it was essentially like he hand drew this cartoon where it was like, okay, in the beginning, you had guys like, not in the beginning, guys, calm down, but at the height of,
I think we literally talked about it last week on the podcast, where like those halcyon days of Couture and Tito and Chuck.
And so he goes on to show that like when we had those days, and Ken and I will look back fondly on them. And I know for some of you who are maybe new to the podcast or new to the product, this can be a little bit self-indulgent. But when there were four events a year, that was our Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We got 20 or 30 people together to watch these events. On very rare occasions, we had these awesome evenings where it was the UFC into Pride that was still on Japanese time. So we'd go straight into a Pride event. And those events were must-see events if you liked mixed martial arts. And the point of the Patrick Wyman article and the point of Rini's interesting tweet thread was like, yes, we have a tummy ache, and we're having a hard time, and we were talking about this last week before both of these things came out. We're having a hard time understanding what the product is. Is the product UFC, or are the product superstars that I want to tune in to see fight? Because if you're doing the latter, you're doing a really terrible job at it.
Right, and if you're trying to do the latter, you should be, because that's where the dollars are.
Well, yes.
Because, I mean, let's be honest. You know, and I think I get bagged on a little bit, not a ton. I mean, I think people understand the perspective I'm coming from. But on occasion, you know, you'll bring up a UFC Fight Night Albuquerque, and I'm just throwing random things out there. That might have been the best fight night of the year last year. I don't know. But you'll throw those things out there, and as a product, UFC knows what they're doing. They will put on a good night of fights pretty much no matter what you're watching.
Yeah.
Do I care about the guys in there? I don't know. I mean, you can put the best cricket match in the world on TV, and I can look at the athleticism. I don't know who these teams are. I don't really care. We're going to have a great example of this coming up this weekend as the Olympics kick off. If you don't tell the stories, people always bag on NBC. Show us the events. Show us the events. Show us the events. If you straight up showed me every event, I'll be honest, I'm not going to care. You're going to have to give me a story and let me figure it out. Do they go overboard? Probably. They're not quite going for that male demographic. They want the women to tune into sports, and that's what they're trying to figure out.
And let's lay on that for a second, right? That's why, guys, they spent $5 million to run a Lindsey Vonn ad.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't run a We've Got Olympics ad. They ran a story. So that you would tune in and see, does she have this triumphant return to skiing, or does she crash and burn, right? That's the story we're trying to tell. This is what Ken's point is that you are not, and UFC 222 is a prime example of this. You are not telling us stories. You're just putting on fights.
And that's
Cyborg
great.
Is fighting a woman for a championship who has never fought in the UFC, who 99% of the people who consume MMA and 100% of the people that consume this podcast have never heard of.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too. They do a great job with the fights. If you want to just break it out, hey, are they putting together good fights? Pretty much, yeah. It's almost always competitive. Almost always competitive. But what's interesting is, if you look at the scenario too, and you go through the tweets again at Chris Rini at Rini MMA,
yes,
online, the other interesting part he talks about is the fact that they're spreading things out. There's so many events. He called it the ingredients for the cookies. So not only are we getting a ton of cookies, they're not as good as they were before. So you're oversaturated with a lesser product at this point. I mean, this comparison is something we all innately know. This guy just took the time to kind of put it down on some paper and really tell us, hey, is this too much? Is this something that's killing the UFC at this point? You know, and the angry little baker gets mad at us because we don't like his cookies anymore, referring to Dana White yelling about the cards. That was a great effing fight. It was. I didn't care about it, though. You didn't make me care about it. Is that your job? Because if it is, you, like Eric said, you did a lousy job of that. If your job was just to put on a great fight and not have me pay for it or put eyeballs on it for your sponsors, dude, go home and congratulate yourself, pat yourself on the back, make yourself a screwdriver, and enjoy the night because you did your job. But I don't think that was your job at this point.
And if you look at 222, and I promise, guys, we will talk about the top of 221 here in a second.
No, we won't.
But if we look at 222, so you've got Cyborg fighting Yanni Kunsingaya, who...
Is that where 222 is falling right now?
That's,
I didn't even
that's
know.
Your that's your main event.
Because Holloway fell out, right?
Right. So, and I'll get to that in a second. So Cyborg is fighting somebody who has never fought in the UFC, who nobody knows. And albeit all reports are Yana is a great martial artist. Now, can she hold a candle to Cyborg? I don't know. If she destroys, let's pretend we enter Crazy Town and she destroys Cyborg, that's almost worse for the sport because a person no one's ever heard of that we don't have a story behind wins this title, and now what do we do, right?
Well, I mean, a great example of that, too, not to go too far off to the side, is somebody we did know but just wasn't as popular with Holly Holm.
Sure.
I mean, again, there were other factors at play. She didn't quite hold on to the title and able to build up her reign, but we knew who Holly Holm was. She had a nice story. A lot of people were actually rooting for her. Some of us called it, and... Still, you saw what happened there. Without Ronda there, that division's been floundering a bit as it's gone back and forth since then.
And then the co-main event, which I almost... Look, I love Frankie Edgar because he's consummately Frankie Edgar, except for at UFC 222, he was fighting for a title. Now he's in a dangerous matchup with a guy named Brian Ortega, who you may or may not know. Again, we're not telling the story. But Ortega is a guy that... And when we get to 222, we'll break it down, is a guy that might beat Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing what he's got on his record is a no contest other than a win, and he tested positive, I think, during that fight. So he might have a juiced-up undefeated fighter. he does have a possibly juiced-up, definitely undefeated fighter that he's going to be facing at UFC 222.
Or no title.
No title.
So let's go to Ken's scenario. If he loses to Brian Ortega, which is a possibility, he's nowhere near contention for two more years, and he's not getting any younger.
Yeah.
And so these guys, like Frankie's always been a company guy. These guys make these decisions to quote-unquote save the card and put themselves in peril of not doing, like, I'm not friends with Frankie. I don't know Frankie other than the times he's been on the show, but... If your goal as an athlete is to win the championship, this is a perilous way to do it.
Well, it's an interesting approach, obviously, but not only do we have Frankie Edgar in a dangerous, dangerous fight. Look, I like Frankie a lot, too. Nobody's paying for that fight. I mean, some of these cards, they're Band-Aids on bullet wounds, guys. This is a tough card to sell. I don't know how many more dollars you're grabbing.
You don't want to spend $70 for this thing?
I mean, that's the other thing, too. I haven't even looked at this weekend's card. I was, I forgot it was this weekend until Eric told me. Good thing we do this podcast. One of those I might buy as we kind of start breaking it down in just a couple minutes. But, I don't know, 222, you got to call it. You got to go, okay, Chris, hey, we're not going to do great. You're a champion. You're going to defend it in the main event. We're going to put some other fights on the card. This is it, man. I'm going to stick with this freaking analogy for the rest of the podcast and probably a long time. you're spreading the ingredients out. You're wasting your chocolate chips in a batch of cookies that people aren't going to buy anyways. And you're doing that with Frankie Edgar. He's one of your ingredients. And if he loses this fight, you lose that ingredient. And Brian Ortega, great fighter. He's going to be undefeated. I'm sure they'll do something with him at featherweight division. You didn't make a new Frankie Edgar just because that Frankie Edgar lost. He's still going to have some selling done. And I don't doubt that Brian Ortega may be in a championship fight if he beats Frankie Edgar. But the same number of people aren't buying Brian Ortega against, oh, Jesus, I don't even know. Where are we with the featherweight championship at this point?
Featherweight is still Max Holloway.
Okay, he just couldn't fight.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is the
stripping, no interim weirdness.
No, we're not doing any of that stuff.
just checking.
But the interesting part, and I also tweeted this out at you this week because I thought this was fascinating, is this is the second time that Max Holloway has backed out of this Edgar fight.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2018, we have already had six fights scrapped due to injury or some other scenario. In 2017, we had a total of 21 fights that were scrapped because of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But at this pace, at six a month, we'll blow that out of the water if all things stay the same heading into the rest of 2018.
Yeah, so I don't know what you do with these cards at this point. It's got to be hard because the problem is you've got inertia at play. And the inertia at play is the fact that, hey, we've been doing all these events, so we got to keep doing them. They've got a sales team at UFC that's already got packages. I mean, not to go too far down the rabbit hole with this stuff, but I mean, you and I have been in this type of media business for a long time. It's very tough to kind of rein the horses and get them back in the barn once they're out. And you've got sales guys who are going, great, you want to make better fight cards. I'm sorry, I already sold 37 fight cards to Bud Light to be on the posts
yep.
of the cage. I already sold this many things to happen for so-and-so. And it's hard to go back to those clients who are looking for straight exposure and go, yeah, but you'd get more with less. Less is more is as true as the night is dark, but trying to convince somebody that's true is one of the hardest things in the world for anybody to do.
And then the other X factor of this Patrick Wyman article, which I thought was fascinating, is that the demographics are showing that the sport didn't do what they thought it was going to do. It didn't continue to grab 18-year-olds.
No.
We are aging up, and so you're not able to go get younger products to be on the poster. You know, it's all the same stuff. It's Bud Light, it's Zions to Monster to whatever. They
right.
just re-signed with Monster, so it's still Monster. It's Harley Davidson. It's all of these older brands with people who have expendable income and are men who have expendable income specifically who are buying very specific products when they're 35 and up, because that's essentially where they're landing.
Well, and that's not a terrible thing unless you stop building underneath for those guys in the future. And, you know, if you want to talk about demos and break those things down, you and I are old men yelling at the clouds as far as what UFC needs to be building. But you and I have been calling this for 4 or 5 years. You've got to fix that app. You've got to do something with the pay-per-views. There's got to be a reason for me to want to buy that app. The WWE model's out there. That's what everybody is comparing this to. Not to get too pro-wrestling with this, but Ring of Honor is about to be out there with a very similar model. And they're run by a big media company, Sinclair Broadcasting. And they've basically recognized, hey, you know what, guys? We got to include pay-per-views if we're charging people $10 a month. It's a very hard sell at this point for the UFC to get those subscriptions and build those stars on the platform, on the format, if you're not going to give me a reason. And I get it. You've got the satellite money. The satellite money's hard to give up when you've got 12 events a year. The horse is out of the barn once again. They're going to have to figure something out. I want a discount at least. If I'm on the app, why am I paying the same amount I can pay to my cable provider and not worry about a dropout on the internet?
Or YouTube.
Or YouTube. Where I can watch the fight and stop it and pause it and do all these things that are already intuitive. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. This is how the world is working. If you want to be on video and you can be on YouTube, be there. They've already built it out. Google knows what they're doing. They've built it out. Everybody's got to sign in. Everybody's got to log in. I don't have to learn new controls. I use YouTube every day on my Roku. I'm sure you use YouTube every day on your Apple TV. If you've got whatever you've got, people are using YouTube. Yes, there's other players out there, and people are going to be on Hulu and Netflix and those type of things. But building out another app, which is great, you got to have it there, but not giving me any reason to be there when I can do it easier elsewhere and in a place I'm more familiar with doesn't make sense. Now, give, you know, and I think I do believe they tried this a couple times where you could buy three at a time or you could do something.
Yeah, they did do that for a minute.
Or if I went to the app, it would be the base price. And here's the problem, because some people wondering, why doesn't UFC just chop it off? Then they don't have to pay the satellite providers. Well, I don't have any inside info, but my knowledge looking in is clearly they can't go below that satellite price or the satellite contracts are going to be void and they're going to get sued, which is how it works, which is why WWE took so long to get their network running and why so many satellite providers took WWE off their options. It's very hard, actually, on cable or satellite to order a WWE yeah. pay-per-view now because the options are limited. They're such a monster, though, you can still find them if for whatever reason in hell you want to pay $49.99 a month. Or $49.99 for one pay-per-view. You can still find them, but that's only because of the behemoth they were in pay-per-view for so many years. You can have a tough time if you're trying to watch a pay-per-view and you're not on their network. So I've got to have a reason to go to UFC and put their app on. I mean, I've tried to order it three or four times. I've canceled it three or four times. That should tell you something. When we sit down, I take my time to do this show every week. And we talk about this every week, but I'm not going to give them $9.99 a month.
Well, and I will say one last thing, and I promise we'll talk about fighting here in a second. And that is, if your demographic is aging up, it's 35 and older, and this app isn't doing what it should do. Remember, if the NFL thought they could get away with playing 45 games a year, they would.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they know that they've got a finite amount of time, both on the field and in people's television screens, to capture men to consume this product, right? They watch it for 16 weeks a year, and then they tune in for the Super Bowl, and that's a wrap, son. I'm not saying that the UFC has to create a season, but if you're only getting, let's boil it down to simple syrup. If you're only getting dads,
mm-hmm.
Dads have other things going on. They're not just sitting around able to watch 15 hours of MMA every single week.
Well, here's the other issue. Let's really talk about build out on the audience. Let's talk about the fact that if I order a pay-per-view, what am I going to drag my 9-year-old into 2 a.m. at your house one night so we can split it or pay for it all myself and still keep him up till 2 a.m? Is your daughter going to get into MMA? Is your son going to get into MMA if you have to keep him up till 1 or 2 a.m. to watch a pay-per-view? Not really.
No, and I would say with my daughter, she's good for a fight because she doesn't know the stories, right? So she'll watch and ask a couple questions and then be like, whatever, I'll go draw, right?
Right.
Like,
but that's even if it's at a reasonable time.
Well, this is the only thing that she's watched in the last year was she caught a Fox card, two weeks ago because it was on at 8 o'clock when she's still awake. But yeah, she's not staying up till 10 so we can start this thing in hopes that she can watch Ronda Rousey, right? Like, I know that Ronda's not fighting, so stop sending me hate email. But the point being, like,
well, if she wants to see Ronda Rousey, she needs to tune into WrestleMania for only $9.99 a month.
Yes, which I will let her do. So,
and you know what else you can do? Let me just take that ball for a second because I was going to make my point that you can watch it anytime on that network.
Yep.
You can time shift it however you want. You can watch it live at 7, which is more reasonable. Or you know what? Hey, have a good night, Ev. You put her to bed. She wakes up the next morning with the babysitter, and she can turn on WrestleMania if you wanted to at that point.
Yep.
My son, after school on Mondays, can watch the Royal Rumble. Because, yeah, he's not even going to stay up till 10 or 11 to watch that thing,
yeah,
let alone 1 in the morning. It's weird how you talk about these demographics, and I know you're very in tune with this, and you're very good at what you do as far as knowing the way to kind of fence these demos in and figure out what they're doing and where they're at. It just seems mind-boggling to kind of look how the UFC is almost chasing. They're making it so hard to time shift. And I'll go back to my YouTube reference, is they're making it harder to time shift. I used to get my YouTube videos for another week or so when I'd order UFC. I paid for it.
Sure.
I paid for the damn thing. Get it for maybe a week, if I remember correctly. I remember last time I ordered, went in the next morning. Oh, sorry, you didn't watch it live? Boom. We know you spent $70, but how about 2 middle fingers up in the air? Like, come on, really? I can't time shift it to the next day because I didn't want to stay up till 2 after I paid you? Get the out of here.
Yeah, no, and 100%. That part's broken. The other thing that I think is broken about the app is things like...
And the app might do that. Is that my caveat that I was asking for earlier? I don't know, but they haven't promoted it. Time shift for 48 hours, blah, blah, blah.
No, it doesn't know.
Freaking tell me. No, no, you got to watch it live?
Yeah, no, you got to... I mean, you certainly don't get to go back. I mean, you may be able to go back 24 hours, but you don't get... Like, I can't watch it Friday... A week later.
Well, I remember specifically when I was doing more of the YouTube pay-per-views that I would be able to pull clips for the show on Monday at work. I would go into work. I'd pull a bunch of clips from whatever the pay-per-view was.
Sure.
And I specifically remember last time we did the show, and it's gotten to the point where, like, there's not really clips that we need to be playing.
Right.
I mean, you know, back in the John Jones days, dude was doing eight balls or whatever the hell he was doing allegedly. You'd want some quotes. Went back to go grab something like, oh, well, YouTube's not letting me see it anymore. Okay. And you haven't even driven me to the point where I want to keep digging and find out if I can do that. I just kind of wrote it off because that's, you know, that's the life I live at this point. I mean, you and I are time crunch. Time is the most valuable thing to most people.
To all people, right?
In the world. And I'm not going to spend an hour trying to figure out the best way to watch a UFC. I just want to watch the damn thing.
And I would say the one other thing that drives me crazy about the app, and now I haven't been in the app in 3 months just because...
Maybe somebody will tell us, but that, right. I mean that somebody, because somebody's going to listen and go, these guys don't even know what the hell, haven't they checked it out? That's part of our point, is they've not given us a reason to dig in there and figure it out, or go in and easily use it. And you and I have both subscribed and unsubscribed, like, forget, between us probably a dozen times.
Yeah, 100%. And we jump in and we jump out. And the one thing that I've always liked or looked for with that app, for this show specifically, is I would love it that you would create a playlist of Luke Rockhold fights so I don't have to find them all.
Yeah.
Right?
They it seemed like that app at first, they were doing some of that. Because I remember, but it seems like the only time they really could cash in, if they could take the Brock Lesnar model and put that on to some of these other fighters, that's what I want to see. Because they do a great job when it's a headliner. Hell, they do a great job when somebody signed with another company. They put together a Ronda Rousey playlist.
Yeah.
When she showed up on Royal Rumble.
Yep.
But, okay, where really, let's, I want to see the Brian Ortega playlist if he's going to be in this pay-per-view.
This is my point. Like, if Yana is
going to... And I don't want to have to pay for that.
If Yana's going to make a debut, like, you've got to tell her story.
You've got to clear the footage. You've got to put it online easily.
Well, they own Invicta, so they have all the footage. They just need to do the work.
Oh, I was talking about Brian Ortega,
oh,
too, because
gotcha.
He was at, like, Respect the Fight or whatever.
Right. Right.
Back in the day.
Right.
I love some of these. We'll dig, like, these guys up on Wikipedia. It's like the what challenge or whatever it is. He was a what world champion. But that's obviously not real because all the Diaz brothers are perpetual what champions.
They are, 100%.
209!
This weekend, we go to Australia. The co-main event is Mark Hunt and Curtis Blaydes. Blaydes the favorite in this one, which is interesting because when we talk about fighting in Australia, Mark Hunt is 4-1-1, so you know the odds are not in the Curtis Blaydes favor.
It's the altitude.
And if, yes, it's the altitude. And if, you know, to me, if Curtis can't pull this one off, like, I don't know what you do with a guy like that when you lose to, I mean, what is Mark, 68?
His name's Blaydes, though, man. You can keep that guy
Sorry,
around for a while.
He's actually 43. Feels like he should be 68.
He's bringing Blaydes to a fist fight.
And Blaydes, his last fight was to, no, I'm ignoring all of this. It was to Nagano, and he's a big guy. However, if he's not able to keep his wrestling, which is clearly the kryptonite for Mark Hunt, if he can't get his wrestling on point and hold down Mark Hunt, this could be a bad night for Curtis Blaydes. And then, of course,
this is the interim middleweight championship.
The interim middleweight championship because, so if you haven't...
So right now it's...
So if you haven't been paying attention, Robert Whittaker got this ridiculous infection that took him out of the whole thing. And, you know, he's fought with injuries, but this was something he just couldn't. It was a...
Do we know what it was?
Staph infection.
Oh, geez.
Internal staph infection. Right. So, like, super dangerous.
Ooh.
Really, 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 really dangerous. So he had to pull out of this event. So if you're thinking to yourself, why are two dudes from America fighting on the main event of an Australian card? That's why. It's because Robert Whittaker had to pull out. So you get Luke Rockhold against Yoel Romero. And it's a fantastic main event that's going to be really, really, really hard to pick. I mean, yes, Rockhold is a little bit taller, but that's an oversimplification of this fight, as Yoel Romero is just a freak of nature whose athleticism is just hard to bottle up, mm-hmm. and he's a hard guy to root against as far as a win goes.
Well, and Rockhold, too, was trying to has been trying to get back into title contention since he lost it, obviously. He wanted the Bisping fight. That didn't happen. We had the whole ridiculousness in the division. And I'll be honest. Okay, so he beat Yoel for the title. Robert Whittaker,
Yes.
Not Luke Rockhold.
Yes.
So won that last year. Am I screwing my divisions up?
No, you're right.
Oh, God, okay. So he won the interim UFC title, which became the actual title with the whole thing with GSP.
Yes. So GSP fought. Let's play. We'll rewind the clock. So
this is the most confusing division to me.
Whittaker beats Yoel Romero, becomes the interim champion because Bisping wasn't fighting.
That's right. And right? He was supposed to fight Bisping,
but Bisping was waiting for GSP. GSP arrives. We have an actual middleweight championship fight between Bisping and GSP. GSP wins that. And then is supposed to fight Whittaker. That was the contractual obligation, except for his stomach hurt. So he is not fighting, waiting to figure this out. I don't know. You know, I don't undermine it because it's a very difficult thing. It's certainly difficult for a guy like GSP who's fighting up a weight class.
Mm-hmm.
So ulcerative colitis. He's got some version of colitis. But anyway, it makes it very hard to keep weight. He was throwing up all week long heading into the Bisping fight. All that to say, he's not currently fighting, so he has vacated the belt, which allows him...
Okay.
We'll step off into La La Land for a second, allows him to do a couple things, one of which is if he decides to come back, he can come back at 170 and not have to worry about this. However, all that to say, Robert Whittaker is your middleweight champion.
He was promoted.
Promoted to middleweight champion.
He's not fighting, so we had another
interim
championship.
So we have another interim championship.
Gerald Ford becoming president thinks this line of succession is freaking ridiculous.
Yes. So that is how we got to where we got.
He's rolling around in his sarcophagus over there in the hill down the block thinking about this.
Yes.
Gerald Ford, not Robert Whittaker.
Yes. My gut says that Romero is going to take this one and have a rematch with Whittaker, but
Romero will be the interim champion who lost to the other champion in an interim championship fight, who's now the champion.
Who's got this unwrapped?
I've got it.
Who's got this?
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so that's what I think will happen this weekend.
And then we'll get... I am ready for my next fight.
Yes, I'm ready
to come back.
I'm going to fight both of you guys.
And fight for my championship.
And then in other news this week, we've got two more things I want to talk about. One is that it...
just question, because I want to put the two together, two ways we started the show. So, looking at this card, the way we just broke it down, the ridiculousness of this middleweight title fight.
Yep.
Interim title fight.
Which took us 6 minutes to explain.
And I'm still just screwed it up.
Yes.
Middleweight interim title fight.
Correct.
$70?
Am I paying it, or is that what they're asking?
What are you paying for this?
I get it if you don't want to pay this thing. I don't know that I'm going to watch it live. I just don't. I don't know. Because, again, it's an interim championship.
$64.99.
Yep, it's a $64.99, and I don't have the vested interest in Mark Hunt and Curtis Blaydes. And the rest of the card, while lots of fun fights, to Ken's point, not a lot of interest in who these guys are at this point. Maybe Jake Matthews. Maybe
I'll knock $10 off, but I got to take some pixels away for SD. $54.99, but you're only getting SD.
Without putting a telecom on blast, you sound like you work for a telecom company. Right.
Here's what we'll do for you.
I got to knock some pixels off.
I got to knock some pixels off, but you're going to save $10.
Your upload speed will stay the same, but the download speed is going
to blow.
Right.
I hope you're not actually trying to be effective at work from home.
Yes. So I don't know.
So no?
I don't think so.
You know, I don't think so either. And, you know, we're living in a part of the country where this would be a perfect weekend to hunker down and have a good night of fights.
Yeah, there's 7 inches of snow outside right now.
Right. It's going to take me an hour to get home today. It's going to take you seven.
Yes.
Because people, your direction of town are really ridiculous. And this would be a perfect night. But, I mean, you can't talk me out of $70 for this one fight that's sort of kind of interesting with Rockhold. And Yoel.
Yep. So that's what's going on this weekend. We will keep you up to date on all of it on Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show.
I should follow somebody else. We'll be a little bit behind because clearly neither of us are watching this.
The other two things that happened this week that I think are sort of interesting is it looks like Dana is saying Woodley's fighting RDA. Woodley is saying he wants to fight Nate Diaz.
Ooh, interesting. So set those up again real quickly, and let's take them one at a time.
Woodley has been running around for the last 10 days in a Twitter battle with Nate Diaz about trying to set this fight up with Nate Diaz.
Right.
Because Woodley's a smart man and knows that there's money there.
Right.
Logically, it makes zero sense to make this fight since Nate Diaz, I think, is 2-2 at 170.
Right, but one of those wins.
Yes, I'm aware.
Okay.
One of those wins
is
against a guy who isn't even in the division. So essentially, he's 1-2. RDA is the second in command and the most logical guy who should fight for the championship. And Dana White said this week that is the fight that they are making. Although Ken has said on the show, I don't know, 1,100 times, that the fighters ultimately are in control of where they show up and what they do, especially if they, I don't know, have a belt. So we'll see what happens.
Here's the other thing, too, is at a certain point, if you're Woodley and you've had a couple of rumors, you've had GSP, you've had now Diaz rumored, you had a little bit of verbal sparring with Conor McGregor, who's fought at 170 before. If you're this guy and you've now had the UFC belt since 2016, you've had four fights that were championship fights. And look, they were good fights. I had fun watching them. I don't think he made a ton of money on two Wonder Boy fights.
No, because
Damian Maia fight.
The only people that like the Wonder Boy fights like the science of fighting, right? Because they were technically masterful performances by both men, but they were not particularly exciting if you want to see knockouts and submissions.
And it's not even about excitement level. I think at a certain point, look, you do have to maintain the integrity of the sport. You do have to make sure you're keeping an eye on those rankings. But I also do believe that you've got a guy in Tyron Woodley who is very close to being one of your big superstars right now. And you need to give him an opportunity to be a superstar. And that's not by just laying waste to great, great fighters that don't have any name recognition. I mean, I get that we know who Damian Maia was. We certainly knew who Wonderboy Thompson was. But none of these fights would be near what a fight against Nate Diaz would be.
Sure.
I don't care about the record. I care about the fact that that's a really interesting fight from a perspective of fans. And also, look, you can make your guy some money. And that's the biggest thing. If you're running a company, if you're running a business, the biggest thing you need to do is take care of your employees in some manner, and then they will take care of your customers.
Which is my segue to two points here. One, if we're talking about this like we were 40 minutes ago, you have to decide what kind of an organization you are,
mm-hmm.
right? And two, one of the things about a culture of an organization is consistency. You make the same decisions about the same sorts of things day in and day out until something comes in and changes your mind, right? So if you are not going to do Tyron Woodley and Nate Diaz, why are you doing CM Punk and Mike Jackson in June in Chicago?
Well, that's because clear as day, somebody's listening to this damn podcast and they figured out that's the best way to get Floyd Money Mayweather into the cage. Because you get CM Punk in there, you get him a little tune-up fight, and then you put him in there against Floyd Mayweather. Hell, if you're going to put him against Floyd, you might want CM Punk to take another loss. That might actually get Floyd in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, for those of you who don't know who Mike Jackson is, I totally get it. He's had, I think he's only had one other fight in the UFC, and I was there. And he got choked out in round one, got out of the octagon, went to the showers, put his clothes back on, and sat back down at Media Row because he's an MMA journalist as his full-time job.
I did not know that.
So that is who's fighting CM Punk in June
in
Chicago.
So wait, you watched him fight, and then you looked over
fight.
Like a half hour later?
He walks past Luke Thomas and Ariel Helwani, and then goes and then comes back like 4 minutes later and sits next to them with his laptop and starts going,
I got to get my article out on getting my ass whipped.
Yes.
Well, that is interesting.
So my point of that is, like, I don't believe, and you can say whatever you want, but I think we're on the same page. Because if you're doing Mike Jackson and CM Punk for Floyd down the road, if that's what we're doing.
Or even just doing it because you want it. You know what? CM Punk's going to sell some pay-per-views.
You can't. I don't believe you can do that and then not do Woodley Diaz because you think RDA is the more sensical path to championship fights.
I 100% agree with you on that, actually. I think you are dead on. I think at this point, look, you can argue whether or not Tyron Woodley earned a money fight after his championship win, because there was a lot of argument about that when he first had to take the Wonderboy fight. I don't think you can argue that the guy deserves a decent marquee matchup if you've got one for him. Look, some guys are never going to have marquee matchups. Poor DJ. I wish there was somebody to feed him that could like really send him into the stratosphere as far as pay-per-view buy rates go. That doesn't exist.
You don't like, just pause for 1 second. The TJ fight isn't even interesting to you?
Not like this, no.
Okay.
No, I'm talking
you're
about
talking like
I'm talking.
I get it. Yep.
Nate Diaz.
Yes.
The man who went 1-1 with Conor McGregor. The man who, the only one to defeat Conor McGregor inside the cage. Blah blah blah.
Man, I mean, like,
he's coming back. You've already sold that much of the fight.
I know, but that like not to do a total left turn at 60, but I am for a second. Like, if DJ could get up to at least 140, like, there's your money fight. Conor and DJ.
Conor DJ. Well, I
know Conor wouldn't do it. I get it, guys. Don't send me hate mail, but like, that's a fight.
No, I think Conor would kill him. I think Conor would kill him.
But you would pay him, right? Like, if you want to pay DJ, there's your fight to pay him.
Yeah, that's fine. So, I mean, I think.
Okay, but then to go back to where
we
are.
So you got Diaz coming back. You can take either Diaz, Nate or Nick. It doesn't even matter. But, I mean, obviously Nate's the one that's got the name and the recognition, and the Conor fights behind him to kind of really sell pay-per-views. Boom, boom, boom. He's coming back. You're already selling pay-per-views. You put him again against a champion. Okay, this is real interesting. Tyrone's able to win. He's able to kind of solidify, get that marquee matchup out of the way. I mean, because as far as things are going, you have to consider that GSP essentially ducked him. And I get it. He was coming back after a long layoff.
Sure.
He wanted to be in a different weight division. Didn't know how
and
the cut was
going
to go.
Saw a guy he could beat.
Right, exactly. At Michael Bisping at a different weight class. So I'm starting to kind of feel for Tyron Woodley. At first, yeah, I think I was still rooting for that because the money fight to me is always the casual fan's exciting fight. So that's why I land on money fight. Not necessarily because it's the money for the guys, which I think should be a good thing.
Yeah.
Still should be a good thing, but because that is a direct result of interest level and excitement for the fight in a casual way, in the Buffalo Wild Wings crowd way. And I like those fights. I unabashedly like those fights.
And I want to say one more thing about this is that when we're talking about the business end, which we spent a long time today talking about, so I hope you guys appreciated that, I want you to think about this. And I want you to think about this because I know we have some amateur fighters who listen to this podcast. I want you to think about the fact that the last 3 weeks we have created fights for a fighter who is at a 50% win ratio in a weight class as a bigger pay-per-view draw than the champion.
Right. I mean, and
I want you to think about that, guys, because this sport is not about records necessarily. Your biggest star lost to Nate Diaz and lost to Floyd Money Mayweather and could come back and headline 12 cards in a row.
Oh, easily. And he would sell a million pay-per-views every single card.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if he could lose six in a row and sell them. But he could lose six in a row before you see buy rates drop.
I bet he would take that challenge.
There you go. Have to lose the six first.
Yes. So anyway, I struggle because I'm with you. I think if you're trying to do legacy building, empire building, star building, Woodley is a guy that I look at and go, why is he not the most clamored after guy right now?
Right.
Because he just has he is well spoken. He's hands down, guys, hands down the best analyst they have on Fox. No question. So he's super smart, super well spoken, good looking dude who's a champion. I don't know what else you want.
It almost feels like with him, and again, I don't know, it almost feels like the UFC just got a little bit out for him. Like, no, you're not going to get your fight.
Oh, like, of course they do. Like, you watch him and Dana go at it. But, again, when you're trying to do, it, my opinion, when you're trying to make business decisions, you have to take emotion out of it. He is your champion who has a lot of skills on the table, and you could make money tomorrow if you just put Nate Diaz in there with him.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Tomorrow.
Who do we... So they're saying RDA, but we don't have like a date or anything lined up
yet. Which is the other problem, guys. If you look from right this very second as we're talking to you, Friday, February 9th through July, there isn't anything really interesting worth your $70 till we get to July if they do those three fights in a row, the three title fights.
Which, again, I think... let's go back to our buddy. Let's bring it all the way full circle. Which... to me, is the opposite end of the spectrum, and they're taking all the good cookie ingredients and putting them in one cookie. So I might want that one cookie, but then I don't give it about any of the other cookies.
No. And we've talked about that, and we will talk about that as we go to July. And obviously, we know that there's a fly in the ointment now that Cyborg has a fight, because a fight is a fight, right? Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if she gets out unscathed, July is totally makeable, and we'll see what happens.
So there we are, this weekend's fights. Who do you have in the fight? You said Yoel, you think, is going to take it?
I think Yoel is. I like Rockhold. I'm going to take Yoel, and I'm going to take Mark Hunt.
I think I'm going to take the upset. I think Hunt is, even in New Zealand, Australia, wherever he fights, what is he for?
He's from New Zealand fighting in Australia.
Right. He's never fought in New Zealand?
Well, I'm sure he has. He isn't right now because that's not where the event is.
We could be literally right now. Okay. We don't know.
Fair enough.
Like just trying to get out of a bar.
Gotcha.
It's a different time zone, Eric.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm going to take the upset over Hunt with Blades. And I'm going to take Luke Rockhold.
All right.
There we go.
Well, there you go. As always, follow along on Twitter and Facebook @WowShow. That is Ken Evans. I am Eric Hulkran. Have an awesome weekend.